Hello, and welcome to a searchdatamanagement.com podcast. I'm Jeff Kelly, news editor. Performance management is one of those hazy terms that means different things to different people, but the basic concept most everyone can agree on. At its core, performance management is the discipline of tracking progress against preset goals to make sure those goals are being met in as efficient way as possible. Now, how to actually achieve effective performance management is where things get a bit tricky. There are any number of performance management methods companies can follow, but choosing one over another is often an exercise in guesswork. To help you better understand the concept of performance management and develop specific steps to successfully implement and maintain a performance management framework, today we're speaking with Stephanie Buscemi, Vice President of Marketing for Enterprise Performance Management and Governance, Risk, and Compliance at SAP. She is also the co-author of a new book on the topic titled Driven to Perform. Before we begin our discussion, here's a little more information on Stephanie's background. As Vice President of Marketing for EPM and GRC at SAP, Stephanie is responsible for go-to-market plans, cross-product solutions, and product strategy. She has served in leadership roles within performance management and business intelligence over the past 14 years. Stephanie joined SAP from Hyperion Oracle, where she was most recently Senior Director of Global Marketing. And prior to that, she was at Business Objects, where she led the building of its U.S. presence. Stephanie holds a BA from UCLA. Welcome, Stephanie. Why don't we just start with the basics? How do you define performance management and describe its evolution over the last several years?
Pretty widely known that it was born out of the area of finance. And so finance organizations have shifted over the years, and we hear things like the evolving role of the CEO, a CFO, and more CFOs becoming CEOs. And what has changed is that, you know, historically, while they were seen potentially more as a back office function or, you know, just really about closing the books, they were being asked to move more into a strategic advisor role to the CEO, and that's where performance management came about. It's really expanding on what the core of performance management, which started with planning and consolidation, and the demands of the CFO started to grow to say, I need you to show me transparency across the entire organization. Beyond transparency, I need you to ensure that you're mitigating risks across the business, and how are you looking at our business proactively as opposed to reactively? So where are the new markets we should be going to? What are the untapped opportunities? So really, performance management, obviously it's about managing all facets of performance in your business, and with the book that we've put together here and authored, it's really about not looking at traditional performance management as how we historically know it in terms of being primarily founded in finance and planning and consolidation, but extending it to the larger performance management offering, which looks at strategy attached to your planning and your reporting, and it looks at your profitability and cost applications as well, so your ability to do modeling and optimization, looks at that, and then it brings in other disparate disciplines such as business intelligence, which really is the window into the organization. It's the way that you can take those key performance indicators that you identify in management and leverage the BI tools as the link out into the organization to make the connection to give the visibility to the different users throughout the organization and ways that are contextual for them and most meaningful for their world. And then you do all of that, looking at it in terms of ensuring that you're managing your risks, that you have a understanding of your associated risks at a corporate level as well as a departmental level, and that you have the appropriate controls in place as well as risk response, so that you're not responding to the risk as it happened. You already essentially have your plan B in place. So very excited about the book and that we're looking at it as an extending the notion of performance management. We're not the only ones, obviously, in the market talking about it. But it's performance management's really at a tipping point here. It's at its next evolution. I think people started with BI and wanting visibility. Then they wanted something to proactively manage the business. And now in light of the economic situation, they want to make sure they're doing all that within an environment where they're able to mitigate risk and ensure that they have, you know, that they're being compliant.
Characterize, in your opinion, what the state of performance management is out in the real world at most companies. I mean, have most companies implemented comprehensive performance management frameworks at this point? And what are the stumbling blocks, in other words, to kind of implementing a performance management framework?
Sure. So the reality is, I think as I share and the authors and many others, as we talk about this next evolution of performance management, which is, you know, unifying BI, performance management, and governance, risk, and compliance, when you talk to people, you can see the light goes on and people wholeheartedly agree. The reality, though, is where they're at today, there's a journey. There's a journey in front of most customers and prospects that I see out in the market. The reality is most organizations have a consolidation application in place for consolidating their books. I mean, if you look at your consolidations as a piece of performance management, that's a mission-critical piece of the business, being the ability to close your books in a timely and accurate fashion. And so most businesses have a process and technology in place for consolidation. When you look at planning in terms of a company's ability to plan and budget, that being another component of performance management, I would say there are lots of planning tools out there, and the reality is much of the world still uses spreadsheets. And that's for a variety of reasons. One, it depends where a company is and its growth in terms of, you know, have they outgrown, or are they a smaller organization that feel they can get it done in a spreadsheet? Or two, is it that we've put a lot of planning applications out in market and they haven't, they just haven't gotten the adoption from the users? I mean, the reality is if you look at a planning process in most companies, the finance organization prescribes out a planning application for the planning process. And many of them that have been out in market have been rather rigid and aren't the way you or me or any, you know, let's just say line of business manager wants to take the time to go learn how to use that application, enter in their information. They see it almost as a one-time event. Oh, I've got to do this for finance. And then, well, then how do they manage their business? They go back to their spreadsheet. So that planning application only winds up being as good as what you put into it. And when the organization sees it as rigid and inflexible, they see it's a checkbox activity that they need to do for finance, and they don't see the benefit. So a key piece that we talk about in the book and is, you know, how to evaluate for a planning solution, and what are some of the key principles or key tenets you need to be thinking about in that. And one of that is in terms of the maintenance of it and the adoption of it. So one being that, you know, you have a technology in place that can be owned and managed by the finance department and isn't a burden on IT, that finance has as heavy a reliance on IT. And by the very same token, that is also something that finance can push out to the users, for example, with, you know, an Excel interface, a web browser to it, something that is not very disruptive to the business user. It's like, hey, this looks familiar. This user interface is appealing, easy to use. I know how to, and it's not disruptive from what I'm used to having on my desktop. You know, behind the scenes, it's got a central database, and there's, you know, business process flows built into that, and all the good things that give finance that sense of security and knows that there's full auditability there. But the net of it is companies have a long way to go. The challenges are, I think all companies are at a point where they perceive there's a need for performance management technology. I think it's a lot about the communication of it and the culture of the company. So is this optional? Does this have a C-level sponsorship in the organization? It has to be a cross-functional commitment. It can't just be something that's pushed out from the finance department. The wider organization doesn't see the value that it provides to their respective areas of the business. You know, it's back to the old saying, you know, garbage in, garbage out.
And how much of performance management is a technical issue, and how much of it is more of a people and process type of discipline?
I think people, process, and technology all have equal play in the equation. If you look at it in terms of one being the people, so in terms of the culture of the organization, so how does that organization make decisions? So how does the organization make decisions top down? Is it a command and control environment? Or is it a environment that fosters collaboration and pushes towards, collaborative and collective thinking? If it's the latter, there's a much greater appetite, obviously, for performance management applications because they need a framework to enable them to be able to do these types of making decisions in a collective fashion. One, the facilitation that comes out of things like the BI tools, and then two is, how do you ensure that these decisions, wisdom of crowds, but how do you ensure that these decisions are being made off of accurate information? So a company that, one, is interested in facts and an information-hungry organization is perfect for performance management because the framework we prescribe enables that. Enables them to consume lots of information from a variety of places, both inside and outside their organization, real time, and look at it in an endless number of views in a graphically appealing way. So hungry for information, and a collaborative organization, I think, are two key ingredients on the people culture side of it. In terms of just, looking at it from visibility in the organization and how do you get all this information out into the organization and what are the tools and technologies that you have? The company has to have at the top level, C-level sponsorship in terms of understanding it's an investment and that it's a journey. I mean, the way we talk about it in the book is we give you a holistic process that shows the coming together of all these performance management, for lack of a better term, components. But we really advocate a start anywhere approach and show you how you can get immediate value off of starting, with your strategy development processes, with incorporating risk into the equation when you're developing your key strategies and not having to boil the ocean all at once. So I think from a technology perspective, I think there's so many, that's the second biggest challenge here, and I think it has equal weighting in that most companies have, a proliferation of BI tools throughout the building. They're wanting to standardize the BI tools. They probably have little to nothing on the governance, risk, and compliance side. They probably have, where they're at today, there's probably something in the area of access controls and around segregation of duties to, and then again on the performance management side, there's probably something again in place for their consolidation, their planning. But how do you bring those all together? How do you ensure an organization sees the coming together, the importance of the technologies coming together, as well as the people coming together? To enable the full performance management cycle.
So what is your advice to do that? Well, how do companies kind of get started? I mean, it's obviously a huge process, and it's going to require a lot of effort and corporate buy-in, as you said. So how do you recommend in the book companies kind of get started in this process?
Yeah, so the two things that we do in the book. One is we provide an overall framework, which we call performance management for everyone. So We describe to people how to look at the performance management lifecycle, integrating risk and compliance into it, which is a differentiator from many books out there on performance management. Very, very many good books out there on performance management, but I'd say a kind of a key piece here is we provide a model that shows how to do it, integrating risk and compliance. And the way that we do it in the book to help people get started is we contextualize it for their area of the business. So if you go into the book, the idea is that regardless of where you sit in the organization, you could look in the table of contents and flip to the chapter that's what's in it for me. So whether you're head of marketing, whether you run HR, whether you run sales, the supply chain, IT, services, we put a chapter together for you to say, okay, how, why is performance management important to you? If you have in your mind that, oh, that's something finance does, okay, let's start by saying understanding both the corporate and the departmental context of which you fit in. So what are your key strategies starting at the top? I mean, what are your key strategies and objectives and initiatives? What are you setting out to do? And then getting the organization or the department or the group in their language to say, identify what that is, and then talk about it in terms of, all right, well, what are the associated risks with that? What are the opportunities and what are the risks associated with that? And what are the interdependencies across the organization? So essentially assigning KPIs, key performance indicators, assigning key risk indicators, KRIs, and then putting the appropriate controls. So it's really starting at the, if you almost look at it in a circle diagram, starting at the top to say, let's do that strategy management and recognize that it's not strategy development, and recognize that strategy management is not a one-time event. Strategy development tends to be done, you know, perhaps CXO office annual event. Well, how do you therefore then continuously manage the strategy and make sure that it's something that's owned by the wider business? So that's the first thing, is go to the chapter that's specific to your area, and we try to jumpstart the thinking by line of business, by, you know, our research of saying, well, what are the things that are important to someone in marketing? What are the things that we see most commonly important to people in HR? What are the things that they're trying to do? And then we illustrate for them what are the interdependencies by other areas of the business or even beyond, you know, your channel, beyond the four walls of your organization. So advocating starting with that. Then we show how from there going into, you've solidified these key strategies. With every one of those strategies, you have a full understanding of the associated risks. And you've put in the proper controls, and you've set thresholds in terms of, you know, what is your risk threshold on this? And that gets back to the culture of the company. What one company thinks is a risk, another just, you know, rolls their eyes and thinks it's no big deal. So you have, it's very custom for the company in that you have to set what your risk threshold is. And at the time of setting that risk threshold, you also need to establish your risk response. So that it's, okay, we see the control, we see an alert has hit, we already know what plan B and plan C are. Oh, by the way, what are the implications looking at that KRI and looking at it and seeing the alert with it? What are the implications of that on your KPIs? So how do you then, you know, what do you need to do to go back and adjust your KPIs up or down accordingly? So one, starting with the strategy, the management of it. Two, tying the risk to it. The third is then really moving into your plans, your planning and your execution. So ensuring that when you're developing your plans, again, you carry through that risk-adjusted view into your plan. So with everything that you're doing, you're saying, okay, do I have a risk-adjusted financial plan that I, and I have the contingency plans again for key risk events and when those risk thresholds are exceeded, as well as have I built out a risk-adjusted operational plan? So what are the activities in the transactive processes and that could have associated risks? How do I flag those? What are those things that I want to monitor? And then obviously a risk-adjusted forecast based on both financial outcomes as well as operational outcomes. So it's an iterative process, not a one-time thing. So going from that strategy into the risk evaluation and taking risk as essentially a thread in the fabric of the business, you go from that planning and execution, and then you take it into monitoring and analyzing. And that's, the analyzing of it is really now having opportunity to say, understand what's happening, and then really understand why it's happening. So you monitor, you understand what is happening, So what are the trends? What is the correlations? You're able to do things like data mining. You know, what are the patterns? Do we see sudden changes on certain things? Have the top priorities changed? Is the schedule behind? Is the project succeeding or failing? And then you can look in and start to understand why it's happening. So you can start to look at root causes of KPIs and KRIs. You can start to look at the risk exposure with them, both in qualitative and quantitative ways. And you can start to do tests. So you can, you know, do tests with your control to see, okay, how do we want to modify that? And then if you just sort of wrap up on it, just to kind of take you through the whole performance management cycle is really, here's where you get your strategic advantage here, is really getting a place where now you're modeling and optimizing. You are refining, constantly refining your strategies, because you're taking all those inputs and outputs and you're feeding that information back in, and you're doing what-if scenarios. So you're looking and saying, you know, what is the, as an example, what is the base case? What is the what-if possibility? You're doing simulations to understand probabilities. You're looking and saying, what is the profitability of my business across all areas in terms of whether it's customer or product? And then that feeds into the strategy, and that's really where you get that edge.
So let's talk a little bit about the technology. I mean, obviously you're from SAP, but if you could kind of give us an idea of what the kind of the vendor landscape look like in terms of performance management technologies, and any advice you might have to companies or I should say potential customers that are looking at these technologies and trying to evaluate what's the best pick for them.
Sure. So if you're out there and looking, we talked earlier, you know, I mentioned earlier where the realities of where people are today. And so in Driven to Perform, you know, we outline what would be the ultimate experience, being able to bring basically, you know, your performance, your risk and your control all together in an integrated cycle. The reality is people today are still buying things, pieces and parts, and I would just encourage people to, you know, that's fine if you need to buy for now, but understand, look for someone that provides a modular approach so that there is the flexibility there and you know that there'll be the integration there as you look to connect these things together so you have an integrated performance management cycle. So, you know, what happens with some companies is you look and, you know, they set it all out on a table and they're looking and they're seeing they have all these disparate technologies, all, you know, written on different platforms. So I would be looking for a company that can grow with you, you know. It start somewhere, but understand, you know, there will be a point in a time, and I think it's sooner rather than later, that, for example, it won't be acceptable anymore just to do your planning and budgeting without a risk-adjusted view to it. I think that will become, you know, much more front and center. So what's going to happen then? Are you going to, in 12, 24, 36 months, determine after you've had a major risk event that's had big impact on your business, you know, we need an enterprise risk management solution, and then you see you've bought something else that doesn't integrate. So really looking for someone that is talking about the end-to-end performance management cycle, factoring in things like strategy management, factoring in profitability and cost, bringing in governance, risk, and compliance, and then obviously last but not least, but providing a full BI offering, so a rich set of BI tools that then allows that link out into the organization provide information out into the organization in a meaningful way, and, you know, allows end users the autonomy and the freedom to make good decisions without, you know, taxing onto IT every time they need a different view of the data or report.
So what would be your sales pitch to a company that's on the fence about whether they need to invest in these types of performance management technologies? What is the real benefits a comprehensive performance management framework gives a company, and what are companies risking if they kind of overlook some of these issues?
Yeah, there's a lot at stake. I think my pitch to a company is, are you driven to perform, or are you driving yourself out of business, which is really looking at it in terms of how can you successfully develop and execute on the core and the key strategies of your business in absence of providing full visibility to your organization and transparency, and in absence of considering the associated risks and compliance issues. I mean, you don't have a very sound strategy in place if you have not factored risk into that, particularly in this business environment. So, you know, I've met with several customers over the last few days, and, you know, when I talk to them and say, you know, performance, if you look at it, an opportunity and risk, two sides of the same coin. Well, with opportunities, what is the performance there? And to look at those without looking at the associated risk hand in hand, you're essentially flying blind. So to me, it's really about stop looking at these things as disparate disciplines. We've put them here into a coherent process for you, and the benefit to you is that, one, you get better efficiencies out of your business because you know through the enterprise performance management offering that you are, you know, monitoring your business more effectively, and bring governance, risk, and compliance into ensure that you're also doing it while you keep yourself out of jail, because you could be a really profitable company, but, you know, not know all the underlying associated risks until you have a massive risk event that, you know, you weren't legally compliant, you know, that you had huge risks, or you could think, you know, your vendors, for example. So you have, say, one supplier who provides you a key component to something that you're building, and you could think it's a tremendous business relationship. You know, I'm getting everything at a great cost. They give it to me at the cheapest cost, and they give it to me on time. And the next thing you know, they're out of business. And so that was a blind spot for you. Why didn't you have that understanding? No flag you. You'd slowly grown your business all towards relying exclusively on that one vendor, but you didn't have a view into that vendor's business. So there you go. There's another example of a risk. And if you were looking at using a risk management solution and looking at things like your supply chain performance management as part of a holistic performance management offering, you would have uncovered that. So that's just sort of a tactical example. But I think people need to get started, help them collaborate across the organization. I think people need actionable ways in this environment to manage profitability, control spend, and mitigate risk. And that's exactly what this framework provides. Okay.
And finally, just kind of remind our listeners where they can get a copy of your book.
Yes. The book is available for sale on Amazon.com, or you can also go to www.drivenperform.net, and there's also information and the availability to buy that book directly from the publisher as well on that site.
All right, great. Well, Stephanie Buscemi, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much.